Congratulations. Thank y'all for letting me know that. All right, if you have your Bibles today, turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Last Sunday, we preached on God's music lessons and talking about music and things of that nature. And this morning, I want to talk about alcohol. I'm going to talk about alcohol. They want to say that it's in the form of wine or the form of strong drink. And there has been a real movement in the church with alcohol. I don't know if you are aware of that or not. But in many churches, they are saying even the preachers are drinking. And even the people are part of that. And there has been, as I've been reading and kind of trying to get more in depth in this thing about should we drink alcohol, should not we drink alcohol. They say it's in moderation, and so we talk about that moderation. They have some churches, they have beer and wine at church. Matter of fact, some business meetings have took place in bars. There has been many meetings or many gatherings at homes of church members that have brought forth beer and wine and strong drink. And so it's all under the guise or all under the mindset of Christian. And each one of these and every one of these, they're saying that it's Christian, that God is okay with it and God is for that. And that the only problem is you just can't get drunk. And as long as you don't get drunk, well, then drinking alcohol is acceptable. Now, I had enough of that. And so I have began to study and began to look in the Bible concerning the subject of alcohol. And is it for the Christian or is it not for the Christian? And I would hope this morning, and then we'll go eat lunch, and then we'll have another service, and I'm sure that I'll even finish it at that time, that there will be an understanding of what God's Word has to say concerning alcohol. My first point, though, that I want to make this morning as we read the scripture, and this scripture is used on many, many times about the acceptance of drinking wine or drinking hard liquor or whatever you want to call it. As we stand to our feet this morning, as we read verse 21, this verse is used almost everybody telling us that it's okay to drink wine or any strong drink or alcohol. Let's just say alcohol, that covers everything, in moderation. But I want to tell you, moderation is the cause of drunkenness. Moderation is not the answer. Moderation is the cause. In verse 21 it says, "It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended and is made weak." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, as we talk about alcohol and as we discuss it amongst the church and amongst God's people, Father, in the world today and what their mindset is, we pray that it come clear. Father, we're not looking, dear God, for trouble. We're looking for answers. We're looking for clarity. We pray today, God, that it will be very clear and very plain about what the whole counsel of God has to say concerning liquor, concerning alcohol today. Oh, God, may you have your way now in our hearts and our lives. I pray today, God, that there's any, Lord, that need to be saved, they'll be saved before it's too late. I pray any today, God, that's backslidden and hard and cold with God, we'll pray you'll warm them up today and bring them home. Pray for the sick and hurting today, diseased. I pray you touch their bodies. God, we need the help of God today. We need your Spirit. Fill us today, God, with your Spirit. Anoint us on above. And I pray that Christ will be glorified in all that's said today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to say, first of all, that the word alcohol is an Aramaic word. It's where we get the word where we find a word alcohol, and that's where you come with alcohol. But alcohol means a body-eating spirit. And so just right off the bat, alcohol, which would cover all of the drinking, all of the beer, wine, all the coolers, all the champagne, everything that has alcohol within it, that word alcohol that we use in English is an Aramaic word that means body-eating spirit. Now, have you heard of alcohol be called spirits? You find that there's a lot of places out there that say they sell spirits. Why you get that word spirit and it's alcohol, this is where you get it from. Body-eating spirit. We find here today that in the world, and I want to give you, number one, my first point is stats. I want to give you some stats today, not from the church, not from the Christian, not from a godly sort, not from a Christian way, but this data, the stats, is a world. And the world is screaming out today. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about Christian. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about lost. I'm talking about unsaved. I'm talking about people that don't care about God, don't care about the Lord. What are they saying? What are the stats screaming out? That we have an alcohol problem. We have an alcohol problem amongst our teenagers. We got an alcohol problem amongst our young people. We got an alcohol problem amongst our adults. We got an alcohol problem not only United States wide, but worldwide. Alcohol problem. Listen to these stats to kind of just warm us up to what alcohol is doing. The world is telling us there's a serious problem. These stats come from the Centers of Disease and Control, comes from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse. 88,000 people die in excessive drinking each year. 12,600 die in alcohol-related car accidents. 6 people die daily of alcohol poisoning. 34,865 die in alcohol-induced behaviors a year. 200 diseases come from alcohol use. 21,815 die in liver diseases a year. $223.5 billion on alcohol is lost daily. That means that those who don't come to work because of their hangover or because of their alcohol use, or because when they get to work, they're still drunk or still tipsy and not productive. It has estimated $223.5 billion a day is being lost in business. $197 million is spent on alcohol a day. 12 million alcoholics in the USA. Now, from alcohol, the offenses are 73% of all felonies have alcohol related. 73% of all child abuse cases are alcohol related. 41% of every rape in America is alcohol related. 81% of every wife beatings in America is alcohol related. 72% of all stabbings are alcohol related. 83% of homicides are alcohol related. Can I say that alcohol is poison? Can I say that it's poisoning our world? There's 3.3 million deaths a year worldwide over alcohol consumption. 696,000 college students are assaulted each year due to alcohol. We find that 97,000 college students are date raped every year alcohol is associated with. 28.6 million children with alcoholic parents in homes. There's 11 million children under 20 years old that's affected by alcohol, and even they haven't drunk one drop. Alcohol has cost Americans $249 million a year. Alcohol drinking is on the rise. Why? I tell you why. Because Christians' views of alcohol are changing. 41%, there was a poll done by News and Reporting. They polled 1,000 churchgoers. Now, the 1,000 churchgoers, 41% say they drink alcohol. 41% of churchgoers drink alcohol. 59% they say don't drink alcohol. 23 say they should never drink. 71% say you can drink alcohol. Now, these are churchgoers. Say that 71% of churchgoers say it's okay to drink socially. It's okay to drink in moderation. It's okay to drink without getting drunk. 71%. That's almost three-quarters of everybody in this room is saying that it's okay to drink in moderation. Church. 55% say that you can't drink alcohol without being a sin. The majority of churchgoers believe they can biblically... Now, this is what got my attention, that the majority of churchgoers believe that you can drink alcohol biblically and not sin. Why is that so big? Because at one time, it was the churchgoers that was resistant to the people of the world who want to drink. And now we find that the church, 71% of them, are now saying it's okay. Preachers are saying it's okay. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of rehabs for something that's okay. Why do we have rehabs, thousands of them? Why do we have thousands of places of psychology and psychiatry? Why do we have so many places of places you can go and dry out, and places you can go and get help, and places all over America if it's okay? Tell the politicians that. Betty Ford. George Bush. How about singers? How about movie stars? How about athletes? How about the rich and famous? We can go through this room right here and name the most famous and the most rich, and they have either died on drugs and alcohol or alcoholics and recovering from that, and it's changed their life and messed their lives up time after time after time. It's okay. We find this morning, I know there's not a verse in the Bible that says, thou shalt not drink alcohol. There's not one. Thou shalt not drink alcohol. There's not one in the Bible that says, thou shalt not shoot up heroin either. There's not a Bible verse that says, thou shalt not snort cocaine. There's not a Bible verse here that says, you shall not smoke marijuana. You can't find those verses in the Bible. But does that mean the Bible has nothing to say concerning alcohol? You know, if we're going to answer the question, is it okay, or is it a liberty of a Christian to drink alcohol in moderation without getting drunk, we're going to have to allow the Spirit of God to teach and to guide us all through the Scripture. We're going to have to take it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we're going to have to take the whole counsel of God. And we're going to have to go line upon line and precept upon precept. And let's see what God says in the Old Testament. And what does He say in the New Testament concerning the use of alcohol? If we're going to answer the question. Just because you can't find a verse that says, thou shalt not pay taxes, or thou shalt not pay to the IRS, that don't mean you don't pay. Amen? So we can't, if we're going to go on such simplicity, that the Bible says, thou shalt not eat fajitas, then friend, we have found ourselves in a low place, in a base place. Can I say today, according to the stats, America is screaming out, we have a problem with alcohol. The lost people saying that. While the church is saying, 71% of us saying it's okay. It's going to be all right. Well, let's just see what God has to say about it. Why don't we? I want you to know I talk about stats, and I want to talk about stories. There's some stories in the Bible. Let's start back in Genesis at the beginning with Noah. Turn to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20. The context of this morning is alcohol. Let's keep that on our mind. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20, we find a man named Noah. We find in verse 20, he says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the vine, or drank of the wine, and he was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid upon both of their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren." Can I say, number one, the whole world was changed that day because of drinking alcohol. It has changed the whole world. All of Shem and Japheth and Ham's descendants are no longer the same. And today in 2019, we're still feeling the result of what they done on that day. And you say, well, how could you fix that? Well, you could fix that, how you could prevent that, by no drinking. No drinking. That would have fixed it. The world would not be in the condition, the world would not be in the place that it is today due to that decision. Now, we're not going to talk about all that because it takes a whole lot more time, but one day I will talk about the sin that has taken place with his son Ham. Number two, another story. Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. The story of Lot. We find, look there in about verse 30. It says, "And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, and his two daughters. The firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and he will lie with him, and that we may preserve seed of our father. They made up their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drunk with wine this night also, and go in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed unto our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger rose and lay with him, and perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benjamin. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day." What happened here? Well, now we have Ammonites and the Moabites, great enemies of Israel. All through the history of Israel, you'll find that these two ites have come up against, have destroyed, have killed, have been a terror upon the children of Israel. And so how could we have prevented the enemies of Israel by no drinking? Right? If there was no drinking, there would have been no Moabites or Ammonites. Great enemies of Israel would not be there. I got another story. The story of Nadab and Abihu. Look in Leviticus chapter 10. Hope you're enjoying the stories. Leviticus chapter 10. The Bible says in chapter 10, verse 1, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Moses called Mishael and Ephraim, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they came near and carried them and their coats out of the camp, and Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Itamar, the sons of his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And in verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, listen to what he said. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When you go unto the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die, it shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Oh, what happened here? Well, what happened was here that God said to the sons of the ones who have died because of the strange fire, why would they be in their right mind if God said that not to put strange fire, that you shall die? And what caused them, those two boys, those two sons of Aaron, to take what God said not to do and to do, and then they died? God gives the answer. He tells them, do not drink wine. Could it be that those two sons of Aaron were drunk with wine? Since the answer, from now on, every priest, do not drink wine. From this point right here, God said, do not drink wine if you are a priest. Do not. Right here, set forth what went forth. So we find whether this morning you think about it or you don't think about it, the Lord's answer from this never happening again is don't drink wine. That's what he said. I got another story. The story of the Nazarite. The story of John the Baptist. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. We find in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 1. Numbers 6 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall be eating nothing that is made of the tree, of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So we find if you're going to be a man or a woman who are going to separate yourself unto God, no drinking. If you're going to be one who's going to consecrate yourself, the word separated means consecrated. If you're going to consecrate yourself, if you're going to dedicate yourself, if you're going to separate yourself, if you're going to sanctify yourself unto the Lord, if you're going to completely give yourself over unto the Lord, such as Romans chapter 1, being a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, no drinking of alcohol. Zero. That's what it says. So sure enough, John the Baptist was one of those who were dedicated, segregated unto God. And Luke chapter 1 verse 15 says, about John the Baptist, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And so if I, John the Baptist, one who was separated unto God, guess what he didn't do? He didn't drink any alcohol. So we find those who want to be separated unto God didn't drink alcohol. We find in 2 Corinthians, the Bible tells us is a very well-known verse, of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And there in verse 17, I'll read it to you. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So we find a separation there, and all those who are going to be separated unto God, drink no alcohol. No priest are to drink alcohol. I've got another story. A story of the kings. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. This chapter is used on the virtuous woman. Used on many days, many times, concerning how women are to live and how women are to be. We find it a great chapter. We find, though, that she says something. The mother Lemuel says something concerning kings. In Proverbs chapter 3, look there in verse 1. Verse 1. "The words of the king Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, what? The son of my womb, what? The son of my vows. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to the which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princesses strong drink." I would say immediately right there that she's telling her son, who's a king, that strong drink and wine is not for kings. We find in the Bible, kings are not to drink wine. Kings are not to drink alcohol. So we find so far in the Bible that those that are dedicated and separated unto God, no alcohol. Those that are priests, no alcohol. Those that are kings, no alcohol. And why is that? Because she said, it will affect his mind and his judgment. Look in verse 5. "Lest thou drink and forget the law, pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." So we find the story of the kings. But I want to tell you another story. It's in the same chapter. The story of the down. The story of the, maybe the unfortunate. But this are the ones that she said, "You give drink to thee." You see, she said, don't give drink to the kings. But then she says in verse 6, "Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. And let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more." Now remember the context. We're talking about, is it biblical, is it scriptural that Christians who are saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, to drink, not to get drunk, we're not talking about that, but to drink socially or drink moderately, is it okay for Christians? I'm talking about Christians, not the world. We're not concerned with that. She says, the people that you give drink to, dear Christian, this is the type of people that receive drink. Look at it. Are you of this group? Are you of these people as being saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb? He said, to them give strength unto them that is ready to perish. I thought when we got saved, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But to those that are perishing, those, that word perish means damned. Are you damned? Those that are damned, give them drink. Those that are dying, give them drink. Those that are discontented, look at what the Bible says there in that verse. He says in verse 6, give wine and wine unto those that are heavy hearted. In other words, those that are discontented. That word heavy hearted means discontented. Give to those that are depraved. Give to those that are disturbed. Then he goes on and says in verse 8, it says on verse 7, let him drink and forget his poverty. The word poverty means one that is down, one that is without. Let's drink up so I can forget how poor that I really am and remember his misery no more. The word misery means destitute, means depressed, means distracted, it means distraught, it means destroyed, it means down. And this is the people that the Bible is saying that we are to give drink, wine, alcohol, strong drink to these type of people. Does that sound like the church? Oh, okay. Sometimes on my island, I feel like I'm alone and discussing such disgusting subjects as alcohol. So, kings, no alcohol. Priests, no alcohol. Those that are separated unto God, no alcohol. Those that are perishing, those that are misery, those that poverty, those that find themselves with the heavy hearts, without God, without Christ, without redemption, alcohol. Stories. Well, that's the stats. That's the stories. Can I give you the scriptures? You're no hungrier than I am. All these scriptures that I'm about to give to you this morning is a scriptures that began with one drink. How does a man become a drunk? One drink at a time. Moderation. I don't believe in my heart, my mind, that anybody who wants to drink in moderation have ever thought in a million years that they will become an alcoholic. One drink at a time. Those who say, well, listen, I can go to the bar, I can go to my home, I can go to my friend, and we're just going to have a couple of beers, and I'll just get out and go on. They would say, I didn't think I would go that far and drink. You're not as strong as you think you are. We find all these drinkers began as social or moderate drinkers. You're going to find that all these drunkards are going to hell. You're going to find because you can't have it your way and God's way at the same time. Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. These are good verses to write down for those who say they're Christian and they believe in drinking socially. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or adulterer or railer or drunkard, or extortioner with such and one do not eat. So we find that with this drinking, a drunkard didn't become a drunkard because of not just one drink in moderation. That's how it started. But because of that, now we as a church must withdraw ourselves from him or from her. So it's bringing separation and bringing division. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So if I had a drunkard, an alcoholic, if you want to call, that's a kind of a common term, those that drink of excess, they say, The Bible says they will go to hell. There's no redemption in that. So we find, shall not inherit. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. It gets interested here, and we'll go back to those other verses in just a moment, but it says, for the time past of our life. So right now we're fixing to talk about something that used to be part of your life. He says, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked, in other words, that's past tense too, in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revilings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So we find right here in the Scripture, it's saying that this was an activity, this was a behavior, this was a conduct of the past. And if we go, you don't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, that as you were such of these, but you've been washed and you've been sanctified and you've been justified. In other words, you used to be a drunkard, but you got saved and you're no longer a drunkard. Here it's saying, you used to be these, but now you're no longer that. So it's saying that either you are a drunkard lost or no drunkard saved. That's what it's saying. So let's look at words. Let's look at the word revelings. We look at that word there. We find it in verse 3 of chapter 4, revelings. R-E-V-E-L-L-L-I-N-G. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And look there in verse 19. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now it's important, the works of the flesh. It says, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't be a revelings or a reveler and go to heaven. So let's know what all that means. Well, that word reveling, it means to carouse. Or carousal. So what does revelings mean? It means a lively, noisy way of drinking and dancing. It is a noisy social gathering of drinking alcohol, like joining of friends, joining in a bar, joining in a dance town, joining in something that has loudness of music, has a venture of drinking of alcohol. It is called revelings. Celebrating, eating, drinking alcohol, carousing around, having fun, partying with music and with alcohol. That's called revelings. Now the Bible says, if you revel, you shall not have no part in the kingdom of God. And revelling is exactly what many people are doing. They're going to a friend's house. They're going to a bar. They're going to a wedding. They're going to a social gathering. They're going, and at that social gathering, is they have this loud music. They have this amount of food. They have this alcohol and drinking. And everybody's sitting around and they're drinking in this party, just having a time. Some may get up and even do a little bit of dancing. That's called revelings.
What does the Bible say concerning that? You can't even go to heaven if you do that. How are you going to have a little drink and say it's okay? You say, well, that's pretty serious, huh? Yeah, it's real serious. The word reveling also is used in writing in Romans chapter 13. Turn there. Romans chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 11, and that knowing the time is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, not only the works of the flesh, but now he's fixing to describe the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting. That word rioting is the same word as reveling. Same word. It means the same thing. And drunkenness and then chambering and wantonness, not as strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you find a great distinction, a great division between rioting or reveling and then walking with God. There is no moderation. There is no moderation of any kind when it says to you and I that you cannot have the works of the flesh and go to heaven and be a reveler. There's no moderation in that. There's no moderation. It says that you are of the works of darkness and you are of light, and put out rioting. Partying, drinking, loud music, dancing. Friend, I'm telling you, there's no moderation in that. You can't find one sip. You can't find one little glass. Moderation is the problem. We find rioting means loud music, disorder. Means a group or a crowd that's wild and crazy. We find banquetings. Look at this. Back in the 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look there in verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of God. Now this is what you used to do. When we walked in last visit, in lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings. Well, banquets, that just means have a banquet. No, that's not what that means. As rioting or revelings is the wild and crazy scene. The lights, the banging, the booming, the music, the drinking, the crazing, the carousing, all the things that are in particular in parties and bars and social gatherings. And everybody in here probably knows exactly what I'm talking about. And that is revival. But banquetings are different. Or it would be called the same word. Now listen to this word. It means drinking alcohol. It means times of drinking. It means social drinking of alcohol. It means to assemble together for the purpose of drinking alcohol. Now, this banquetings means that if I would call you and say, hey, Brother Keith, won't you come over to my house and we're just going to have a few beers. That's banqueting. I'll say, hey, man, listen, let's just go on down there to the baseball game, football game, or whatever, and let's just have a little round. It's not the party scene at your house. Not the loud music. It's not all that nonsense and the dancing. It's just sitting down amongst buddies. Just having a few long necks. That's banquetings. I'd like to know where that moderation is in this verse. Where do you find sitting around drinking a couple of long necks, hanging out with the buddies, drinking some wine in moderation? Where do you find it in that? It's telling me that's what I used to do. But I don't do that no more because That verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them. In other words, when you got saved, you don't run with them anymore. And they think it's strange. Hey, man, how can you don't hang out with us no more? Hey, when we call everybody to eat, to drink a cup of beer, we're going to watch the Rockets. We're going to watch old Harden hit old 30 in a row of 30 points or more. And we're just going to have some beer there. Man, there's nothing wrong with that. Just drink in moderation. Don't get drunk. No, you're bankering. That's what I used to do. So when I don't come back over your house any longer, you say, man, he's strange. He don't hang with us anymore. That's what the Bible's teaching here. See, these are things you do before you're saved, but these are the things you don't do after you're saved. See, Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says, casting off works of darkness. Romans 13, 14 says, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's one to the other. You can't mix. 1 Corinthians 6, 11 says, and such were some of you. Now, I was a drunkard, but I'm not no longer because I've been washed and sanctified and justified. There's no mixing. Galatians 5, 19 and through 21, that's the works of the flesh. And Peter, 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4, the things that you walked in, things you used to run in. That's the scriptures, friend. I don't know. I think I'm going to stop right here because we're going to go eat, but I got a whole lot more. I hope you come back and hear the rest if you're really interested in what does the Bible have to say about alcohol. You're going to be really knocked away, knocked out. But that's the scriptures, and I know there are a whole lot more of the scriptures that we can go into, and I will later, but in a different way. But I hope at this point right here, if you can honestly say with the Spirit of God that indwells in you and the Word of God that has influenced you, there is no way in God's green earth, even though it does not say, thou shalt not drink wine, thou shalt not drink vodka, thou shalt not drink whiskey, thou shalt not drink Bloody Mary, thou shalt not drink a wine cooler, thou shalt not drink champagne, thou shalt not drink whatever you want to put on a Bud Light. It don't say that, but it does say that in the whole realm of the counsel of God's Word up to this point. I would hope you could. If you can't see it yet, you will. That, you know what? Moderation is not the answer with alcohol. Abstinence. Abstinence. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know, I could be angry this morning with alcohol. My daddy saw his daddy twice in his lifetime because his daddy was a drunk. I never seen my grandpa on my daddy's side because he was a drunk. My mother's never seen her father because he was a drunk. I've never had a grandfather my entire life because of drinking alcohol. I've got uncles on my mother's side. I've got uncles on my daddy's side that died early. And I got some cousins that are in hell today because of alcohol. On a personal note today, I hate alcohol. It shortchanged me. Some of y'all, most of y'all had grandfathers. I don't know what one of them are. I've seen those I love get eaten up by alcohol. I know people today who have been raised in an alcoholic family and they're affected. You think today as a child of God, being dwelt with the Spirit of God, and being a Christian, it's okay to drink in moderation? Go ahead. The Bible says be persuaded in your own mind. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about it. And you choose. Alcohol. Body, eating, spirit. They even say that when you black out, when you get so drunk, another spirit comes in your life. And that's what makes the blackout. That's what they say. I don't know.